This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
Where the line between neighbor and nightmare is razor thin. Welcome to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring former prosecutor and defense attorney Eric Faddis.
All right, let's dive into the case of Richard Allen, the man at the center of one of the most haunting murder trials in recent history, the Delphi murders. 3 weeks into the courtroom battle, and we are still left with more uncertainties than answers. This case was supposed to bring clarity, closure, justice to the two young victims, but instead we're watching a legal drama that feels murky and painfully, painfully incomplete. The prosecution has spent weeks lying out their arguments, but the linchpin of their case, a confession from Richard Allen himself, comes with a mountain of baggage. We're not talking about a straightforward admission of guilt. We're talking about statements made under highly questionable circumstances. Picture this. A man in solitary confinement, okay? Not a good place to be. Mentally deteriorating. Reportedly engaging in bizarre behavior like eating pages of the Bible. Is that the kind of stable environment where a reliable confession can be expected? Experts and skeptics alike know that extreme stress can produce confessions that are unreliable, as they are dramatic. And yet, this is what the prosecution in the trial of Richard Allen is banking on. You think with the gravity of this case, the prosecution would have built an airtight narrative lined with hard evidence and irrefutable facts. Especially the way they were acting leading up to this. Instead, we're seeing a slow and disjointed presentation lacking the kind of clear, compelling proof you'd expect in a case of this magnitude. Their pretrial confidence had us all bracing for a mountain of evidence that we just didn't know about. They must know something we don't know. Well, it never really materialized. So, was it all for show, or is there more coming? It's hard to say, but one thing is becoming painfully obvious. What's been shown so far feels flimsy, and that's unsettling given what's at stake. Let's not overlook the issue of groupthink. In a world of prosecution where challenging the status quo can sometimes be viewed as a little hearsay, we've heard of prosecutors who get so wrapped up in the collective belief about a suspect's guilt that they overlook glaring inconsistencies. This is not just a theory. It's a systematic problem that can cloud judgment, especially when the pressure to secure a conviction is immense. So here we are, waiting to see what comes next. Will the defense swoop in and dismantle the prosecution's narrative with an expert on false confessions, exposing the case as more fragile than anyone ever expected? Or will the prosecution pull out a last-minute ace that we haven't seen quite yet? As we move forward, the only thing certain is that this trial is far from over. And the outcome is more uncertain than anyone would have predicted. The stakes are high as they come, and with every twist and turn could mean a difference between justice served and justice denied. Joining me to discuss, Eric Faddis, defense attorney, former prosecutor. Have you heard anything that puts Richard Allen near this in any sort of evidentiary way?
You know, I really haven't. And that's the issue with relying almost solely on a confession, is that confessions can be unreliable. And you've got to kind of back it up. You got to bolster it. You got to make sure it's consistent with objective, demonstrable evidence that shows, hey, yes, what he's saying is correct. And that second part is the part that's been lacking. And they've been in the trial for 3 weeks.
Were you expecting more from the prosecution?
Oh, totally. And I was expecting him to do it in a different fashion. I wasn't expecting him to kind of, you know, in my opinion, waste a good amount of the jury's time for multiple weeks. Let's get to the meat of this. And if you think he's guilty, let's put it out there. Let's see what you got. And it feels like it's just been such a slow play the entire time.
The bravado that they were using beforehand of, no, we're going to deny this, we're going to deny that, it made you think either they're nuts and they're trying to cover something up, or they have a really, really strong case and we just don't know anything about it yet. We'll find it out in court and hopefully we're all wrong. It turns out they have an even weaker case than we thought they had. And it's like, what's going, like, why are you all behind this? This is so incredibly weak.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, and I'm telling you, as a former prosecutor, that's one of the reasons I had to get out of it, because there is such a groupthink mentality where you get into this mindset of like, oh, this case is great, this scumbag deserves it. That's not what I would say, but that's what some people would say. And it's easy to just kind of be like, oh, rah, rah, yeah, we all agree with each other. But then once you get it out in the open, that's why they have trials. Once it's subjected to scrutiny, now everyone's saying, oh, wait a sec, I'm not sure how strong this is.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you don't listen to, I mean, when you're in that situation, because you've obviously have been there, is it pretty much like an echo chamber? I know, you know, some people will look outside of that and go, what are other people saying? You'd want to do that, I would think, because you'd want to be challenged in every way, shape, or form as a defense attorney. So you're prepared when those questions come at you in court. But is that always the case, especially when it's like prosecution and they think they got their case? Are they listening to the outside as other people are?
Oftentimes, no. Oftentimes, it is an echo chamber. Not only that, but in some law enforcement cultures, not all, but in some, it's kind of discouraged to sort of bring up other sides. I remember when we were roundtabling cases as a prosecutor, and I'm saying, you know, well, gosh, when we go to trial, there's this piece that's missing. Or there's this witness that says something that seems a lot different than what we have already. And sometimes that's kind of frowned upon. That's kind of like, oh, whose side are you on, bro? and that is not the right approach when we're talking about safe and effective and accurate law enforcement.
Yeah, it's like you're on the side of truth. Like that. And if there's something here that shows it's not, then we should look at that. We should see what this is. That's how our system's supposed to work. Unfortunately, it's not. It's a fascinating case. We'll see where this goes. As of now, I thought earlier, you know, he's going to be convicted. It'll be a retrial. I don't know that he's going to be convicted. I mean, if there's nothing else up their sleeve and it stands on this, they don't even have to bring up Odinism, even if they are allowed to. I would say just rest on what we have. What's your thoughts on how this should end up?
You know, I'm waiting to see, and I haven't looked at the witness endorsements. I don't know that they're public. I'm waiting to see if the defense has a false confession expert, because this case is primed for that.
Yeah.
And if they can undercut the confession, there's really not a whole lot left. And I think that inures to the benefit of Richard Allen.
Yeah, I would agree. There's still more to come in the case. Defense has yet to go. Maybe they're going by the time you're listening to this or hearing this, but... It's more than, I'd say, probably half the way, past the halfway mark, but we're getting there, and it is fascinating, no doubt. Hey, thanks for checking out the video. Be sure to follow us wherever you download podcasts, and especially Apple Podcasts, where you can get advanced episode and premium content on our premium channel right there. Also, be sure to follow us on social media so you don't miss any breaking updates on the stories that matter to you most. We're on TikTok, X, Instagram, Facebook. Just search Hidden Killers Podcast with Tony Bruschi, and you'll find us right there. Again, thanks for watching. Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
You're in the thick of a true crime saga, every detail sinking in. And then, wham, a commercial about something you couldn't care less about. It's like being served a microwaved dinner at a five-star restaurant. But it doesn't have to be this way. Go for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. With True Crime Today Premium Plus, you get uninterrupted, ad-free episodes, extended interviews that dig even deeper into the muck, and early access so you can brag to your friends. It's like ordering the secret menu at a crime buffet. So, search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and savor every twisted detail without interruption.